Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the Final Word Show, and it is association with theredmentv.com. If you want more from us, including this show, on the midweek games, obviously not this week, but in a couple of weeks' time, it all kicks off in a big way. Again, this show is on theredmentv.com, as well as exclusive interviews with the likes of Jurgen Klopp, Lucas Leiva, Robbie Fowler, Jordan Henderson, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, etc., etc., and amazing shows covering every aspect of Liverpool Football Club on a weekly basis in video and in podcast form. Get over there. It is completely free for the first month, so you can try it all out, and then it's just £5 a month thereafter. Anyway, let's put all that to one side for a moment, gents.
Hello.
Because Liverpool's kids smashed Everton in the Merseyside derby. Ben Kelly, it was a mad team. Like, we were in the office, me and Chris were talking, he had to do the starting 11 prediction. He's like, what do I do here? I was like, the sensible thing is just to go with one or two. You're like, Lallana will definitely come in, yeah. Origi will definitely come in, but that'll probably be it, because I don't think he'll rotate too heavily. Oh, no, he went full.
Yeah, he did, and I saw it, and I couldn't believe it. I really, really didn't want to lose yesterday, and I was really, really worried that, like, he'd perhaps gone too far, you know, with the team that we put out in the league in December. You know, obviously we smashed them, but there was eyebrows raised at that, you know, in the game in the league, and everybody was going, oh my God, and then obviously that turned out to be okay. But, like, for him to bring in, like, Harvey Elliott here and Curtis Jones, who we'll talk about in depth, you know, it was some real bold decisions. But we saw so much from this team that showed us how much character these young lads have, and I think it's an absolute, you know, testament to how good they are.
It was, what was your reaction today when you saw it?
Furious.
Were you really furious?
Well, I don't get angry, but I was disappointed. I was very disappointed and very shocked, because
you weren't angry, you were just disappointed.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, you're going to be furious. No, it was, I didn't think the team that Liverpool picked yesterday was good enough to beat Everton. Obviously, it turned out that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I still think, you know, had Everton done a little bit more with their chances, it could have been over at half-time. Yeah. But having said that, I don't think Klopp just jibbed the FA Cup off. It's got to be science related. He's obviously looked at where players are, how much they've played, and he's just thought, after he went, like, full strength against Sheffield United, he was obviously going to make some change. But I agree, I thought it was going to be Milner to play a full-back for someone, and, you know, bits and bobs. I didn't expect it to be the kids.
But the argument is tempered by the fact that if it's a genuine sports science issue, then you probably go a bit weaker the game before. If you cared about the FA Cup,
yeah,
you ease off. Mm. You know, James Milner doesn't play as much football. You play one of the kids in the game before, yeah, and then you play another senior player in this game. So I think it kind of works both ways. I agree with the general notion. I think he's set this narrative by saying that we treat one game at a time. It allows him that excuse, and ultimately, when you win, it doesn't
exactly. Win. And it ends justify means, don't you? And the fact is the big guns now have all had a nice rest. They get the whole week off before they play Tottenham. So, you know, it's a rest of, what, 9 days or something from Fordham, which is unheard of at this stage of the season. So I was worried that team would lose, or even worse, draw. And then, because I've seen him do this before. Liverpool have done this under Klopp before. He went to Exeter and played that team. I remember him doing it. Plymouth, he played a weakened team in the FA Cup. And it just caused replays. And then it was like another, that's the last thing you want is a draw. So I must admit, I wasn't best pleased. I always want to beat Everton. Yeah. And to be honest, I think this Liverpool team is more this than just potential league winners. I think they could be historically good. Like, the double is a real thing. A treble is not beyond the realm of possibility. Yeah. I think this team deserves to be that. Listen, just winning the league sounds like I'm being greedy. I'd bite your hand off every day of the week. Yeah. But I think that the way that they've gone so far, and the gap they've creative for themselves, gives them the opportunity now to go, not only can they win that historic first league for 30 years, they can complement that by winning an FA Cup and winning a Champions League or going far. So, like I say, I was quite annoyed. I was in the cab when I got the news, and I was like, I tweeted, I'm furious, and obviously people take tweets very, very seriously. I wasn't knocking taxi drivers out, but I was like,
not today,
yeah. But I was like, you know, I was like, oh, Jürgen, I think you could have played the goalie. You could have played one or two more, but then
we got a Red Men WhatsApp group, haven't we, Ross? And I think I saw some, like, Chris put something up being raging, but he was stood next to me. He was kind of laughing about it at the same time. Where were you at?
I was surprised about, I think I was saying as Ben, about how many kids were actually involved in that, but I understand it in the sense that I think it's more credit to the players before that. They've just played 9 games throughout December and won, and what they've been through and what we've asked them to play and what they've come out and done, I think is a massive achievement. Yeah. But I also think it's easy for us to sit here, I think, in the build-up and said, just go one more time. But it's all right for us. We haven't just played that amount of football on two different continents in, you know, in 3-4 different tournaments. So I understand why he played those kids. But, like, again, we only see things on the face of things. He sees those kids on a daily basis. He's put the confidence in them, in their own ability to go and take this Everton side on. I was concerned because I thought Everton would go full strength because they've got nothing else going on this season. Yeah. And not playing to our hands, and obviously Ancelotti comes into it as well. But what was the worry for?
I don't know if you agree, Paul, but I thought it was, I had no problem with, like, Elliot playing, or maybe Williams playing, or Jones, or maybe you play Phillips, but I was surprised that all four of them. And then I look at the bench and you think, oh, I think, well, if you get to 60 and he might just load the bench. He might go Van Dijk, Salah, Mane, yeah, Firmino, and just load the bench. But he's literally just put them in the stands and said, you are not playing football. And I think the fact that Jürgen maybe is a little bit emotionally unattached to an extent about the Everton rivalry, he's never taken it as intense as we have.
Yeah, has he really?
He's never
played too many full strength teams.
No, exactly. Yeah, exactly that. And he did in the FA Cup last time, funny enough, with the Van Dijk. That was a stronger team than this, but this team, I think, has got more going on. And that's I understood the point.
Well, I think he looks at the knock-on effect and with these, and this is the time of the year where we struggle. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
You can't have this complaint that Liverpool struggle in January and the start of February, which we historically do, particularly under Jürgen, and then be asked when we try to find ways to make sure that the good lads are as available as possible for the big games. I love the psychology of it because at the time, and this is what football is all over, Ben. I had a sneaky little suspicion in the build-up to it that I thought we were going to lose this because I just thought Everton just had, it was too important to Everton.
The bookies, they were bookies' favourites.
Yeah, and I knew we would rotate, so I knew we wouldn't have a full-strength team. And I just thought this might be the one. We've taken our eyes off the ball a little bit because it's the FA Cup, etc., etc. But the beauty is about footy and what you're meant to do is the second that you can kick off and you can be upset about it all you want, but once you're in there, you're watching it, you're committed to it, of course. Because I was under, because I've obviously got my season tickets in the cop, but I had access to my uncles next to my dad in the centenary, and I was like, do I want to watch this game with my dad and have a good view, but being stood up and not singing, or do I want to be in the cop? And I was like, well. And when I saw that team, I was a bit like, I'd made a decision to be in the cop by that point, and I was like, are we gonna lose this one? Could I just be sat, you know what I mean? Could I just be sat down and watching the game and having a chat with my dad while I'm doing it, etc., etc. But the second you're in, the second it kicks off, that's just what the footy's all about, and the psychology of going with that team. We did it in December where we put a weakened side out, but we told all those lads, we think you're good enough to beat Everton.
Yeah.
We think you're good, and this is a big game for you to be in. And I think it actually damaged Everton. And this time around,
it's even worse.
Well, exactly. We set them up because we challenged them. We've gone. We're putting our under 23s out basically against yous. Have you got what it takes? Mm. And they absolutely capitulated.
And they still couldn't do it at Anfield, could they? And I think that, again, it's credit to the team because obviously we kind of saw two sides to this Liverpool team in the sense of they go out and obviously Everton have the chance in the first half, but you can see that they're playing with the freedom of, you know, they've been hyped up to go out and be heroes, but also they're playing like they've got nothing to lose. Yeah. You know, they're going out and doing all that. But then Jones gets the goal in the second half and you see the way they change the way they're playing because suddenly they've got something to protect and they want to see the game out. And I thought that was just as impressive as the way they play in the first half. When, you know, you begin to get into it a little bit more towards the end of the first half. There's a couple of chances. Minamino has a header and Origi has the one that was probably going to be offside. But in the second half, the way we controlled the game following the goal, because we all of a sudden had something to protect, was amazing. You can't train that. You can't train for that in training. That is something that you've got to learn from in a game situation, yeah. And to be able to play in two different styles in a game and adapt the way you're playing following a goal to protect that lead. It's so mature from such a young side. It was so impressive.
I think, I was going to say, Ross, is that the injuries to not only the first teamers but the squad players has had. Obviously, I imagine if he had everyone fit or near enough, he would have played Shaqiri, and he might have started Oxlade-Chamberlain, and Keita might have got a game, and you know he might have had one of the kids with whatever a fullback. I don't know, but because I think he's been a bit worried the fact that he's run out of midfielders, he loses another one, another senior player. I think he's gone. I'm not. It's not the end of the world if Everton beat. If we don't win this, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
What would be the end of the world is if I asked one of these lads to go again and they're out for 6 weeks. And I understood that.
Yeah.
My flip side was I think Everton are crap.
Yeah.
And you could beat them at half at 50%.
Yeah.
So I'd have just Van Dijk strolling about.
Well, but we challenged the Liverpool squad there, Ross, would say, and you know we're going to put a fit team out. We're going to put a healthy team out to best of our ability, and we're going to trust that energy and the desire outmatches whatever else Everton are bringing to the table, and it's a calculated risk because when you look at it now, he's been seeding this for a few weeks now. So it's taken Nico Williams to Qatar, it's taken Curtis Jones to Qatar, it's keeping, you know, obviously it's bringing Firmino as well. This has been in the planning. This isn't like he's gotten to the weekend and gone, what the fuck have I got? We've got here. What you've got with the likes of Jones and Williams in particular is they're now looking at going, I've been on the bench now for 3 or 4 weeks. Because the squad players are injured, they now know, oh, hang on a second, this is my chance to shine in a senior game of football. And if I shine in this, then I make myself an option for the rest of the season. Mm. So all of a sudden, when Klopp wants to rest Trent Alexander-Arnold against in the next FA Cup game, or you know when the fixtures ease off a little bit in February, well, Nico Williams has done nothing to suggest he won't come in as the understudy.
No, they've all been drip fed over the past couple of months, haven't they? Whether it's like 5-10 minutes here, I think the Carabao Cup, or you know certainly earlier rounds and stuff, in that is all experience for them. Whether it's positive or negative, it's getting them on the pitch. I think Harvey Elliott coming on and playing, like, I don't know, he played a minute at Sheffield United, but it's still he's got coming out of Anfield out the way,
yeah,
in a Premier League game. So that's one more thing psychologically out the way. So that. Having them fit was justified by me when I saw the lineup going, actually, well, they're all fit. We've seen injuries to other teams. I think Newcastle lost 4 players to injury because of the amount of football that they played. And it happened over the weekend of soft muscle issues, injury, because they played so much football. It's fine saying, like, Van Dijk going in. I get that point, but are you doing that expensive? Are you going to miss Van Dijk for Spurs?
James Milner proves it all right,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll hold my hand up in a minute, like I was wrong.
But just following on what Ben said before, I think it's even better in the sense that most of those lads have never played together before, I don't think. And Joe Gomez, I think, played the Arsenal game in the Carabao Cup and had kids around him, and you could see it was difficult for him.
Yeah.
But again, to play the two sides that you said there, but for the cohesion and rhythm and understanding they all had of each other. I mean, he's never played that Liverpool side before.
No.
I mean, he's played with teenagers.
Yeah.
And to have that against Everton's first team, I think it just makes the whole thing even better.
Yeah. I'm made up, I was wrong. Yeah. I thought that team's going to lose and I'm going to be really upset about it. It's not going to be the end of the world.
You could have justified it, couldn't you? You know, we could have all rationalised that in some way.
Yeah.
But the beauty is like, you don't have to now.
Do you think sometimes, Paul, I might be wrong, but like, there's an inner city to outer wider Liverpool fan thing on this. Like, beating Everton in an FA Cup third round might mean more to us because we see Evertonians every single day. Like,
to be fair, like, Ben's immediate reaction without throwing Ben under the bus was that you were upset. Were upset. I don't think it's uniformly true.
No,
because ultimately, I actually don't care. I was saying when we got the draw, the second we got the draw, I was like, I'd play the kids against them because. Yeah. I care more about the Premier League than I care about the FA Cup, and they don't have to be mutually exclusive things because I think we're that good at the moment. But the derby doesn't mean that much to me anymore.
Yep.
Because
we keep winning.
But that's it, because I am accepting of the fact that at some point Everton are going to win a derby. But if Liverpool happen to be the best team in the world at the time they're doing it, then who's asked? Because it doesn't tell you anything about us. It doesn't take the shine off Liverpool being brilliant. When Liverpool are crap and Everton are better, you know, the season needs to finish above us constantly. I know we still won the derbies, like, or didn't lose the derbies. I've been in plenty of situations where Everton have, we've never been this good before. So if you're gonna lose it, I'm not arsed.
You can't
beat Everton or go and beat it against Everton forever. Is my point.
You say that?
No, I know. Look, if bearing in mind that's happened, it's actually more likely that we never will lose them again. But that's my take on it. I don't think it is an inner city. But I do think. Also, I don't have as much interaction with Evertonians on a day to week. You know, I see the Toffee TV lads every day, pretty much, but they're actually quite sound, so they don't bother me. But if I knew really bad, horrible, those lads who were stood on the front of the Upper Annie Road and doing the pushing gestures and pretending like they're fucking mega ultras, you know what I mean? I don't know those lads, so I don't have that needle in me life in the same way.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it says a lot about Everton and where they're at. And Ancelotti would, like you said, like Liverpool going 50%. I think that's essentially what Everton had done.
Yeah.
Because that's all they can afford to do. They don't have the squad depth. He would have learned so much about that side last night and how much work he's got to do.
From Everton's perspective, isn't it? I mean, I'm not asked about their perspective too much on the show, but the that's what Duncan Ferguson will have weeded out a few of the bad seeds or whatever in that side. And you're right, Ancelotti will have looked at that and go, that's probably the lowest ebb Everton will have now. I think they might have a few more downs this season or whatever, but as far as Ancelotti's reign goes, that'll probably be the worst.
I actually thought he played quite well first half.
Yeah, they were good.
They were horrendous second half, like truly.
Well, Theo Walcott, I thought, was the best example of that, because all their danger comes from him in the first half, and then he is one of the worst footballers I've ever seen him in life in the second.
Yeah.
And it helps, because I didn't realise it in the first half, and this is mad. Psychology, them choosing to change ends was one of the biggest mistakes they've ever made, because they were bossing the first half, but the cop couldn't see. So you don't feel the damage when it's that far away from you, because you're not as you can't see what's gone wrong or how they're getting into you. So you don't take it on board as much.
Yeah.
And then what happens the second half is they're all down our end, and they completely utterly crumbled. Theo Walcott was one of the biggest shit houses I've ever seen in my entire life, and
We talk a lot about finishing and putting the ball in the back of the net and how easy our lads make it. And Everton are like a mid-table Premier League side, aren't they? That's what they are. Like, ranked the team, I don't even know where they are in the league, 10th or whatever. And their lads just kept hitting it down the middle of the goal. I do think it's a testament to like the likes of Mane and the likes of Salah, who just find corners all the time.
Curtis Jones.
the ultimate corner, yeah. You can't get more than that. But like, you know, Calvert-Lewin straight at the goalie. The header off Holgate's an absolute sitter. It's just right at the goalie. Like, Van Dijk has a similar header to that against Brighton, and he just guards it in the corner. And
tons of those chances like that, to be fair.
Yeah.
But the thing is, when you're as good as Liverpool,
you get more, another one will come. Exactly. Yeah.
And I think it just shows like how good Liverpool are on the day.
Rather we believe another one will come.
Yeah.
Whereas I genuinely think they probably think, well, we've had all our chances here.
And they had. After half an hour, they had.
I do think like it just shows that the level of Liverpool, like how good we are, because Everton are fine. They're all right. We say the crap, but in the pantheon of English football, like the 10th, 11th best team, and we are just like so much better. I was watching them do like simple things like 5-yard passes where they were like a yard off, and I was thinking, I feel sorry for some of these. Like they pay 40 quid to go and watch these lads who can't kick it 5 yards.
Yeah,
just like really basic stuff.
Well, someone made the point, wasn't it, that Liverpool starting 11 was like cost 43 million or something. And theirs was 200.
And most of that's Lallana, isn't it? And
like, yeah, Vanarigi.
The rest of it's kids and young and free times. And yeah, so yeah, it was bonkers. Like how the paddle.
I think they need to stop playing Jordan Pickford from their perspective at Anfield. Because again, you talk about psychological boosts. I think that's there. I think he just completely goes whenever
there's a guy. Apologies to the guy. His name is. He's in our website subscribers group. Who said he wasn't happy with the like the what he perceives as bullying of Jordan Pickford or whatever. Personally, there's players that the cop gets in the head off. And Raheem Sterling's one of them as well. And Jordan Pickford's another one of the lads for whom psychologically they aren't strong enough to deal with that. You know, I talk about it all the time. Look at Alisson when he makes a mistake. He's not asked. Because everyone makes mistakes. Jordan Pickford makes mistakes, and I think he tries to play his way out of that. You know what I mean? He's trying to prove to the crowd that he's not crap and his arms are a normal length. Mm-hmm. And there's no amount of him being trying is going to stop that. You know, stop that being a thing.
Even his distribution, like, what I got told that was his best asset. Like, it was probably his worst.
It was awful yesterday.
Like, just getting the ball and actually just swatting it down the field to Adrian.
He's got that low punt trajectory
going on. That's fine. There's someone else to run on the end of it on your team. don't just hoof it up. But I think he's got a point to prove, obviously, because he makes a mistake every time. But psychologically, like, Ancelotti must have known that.
He should, you know what, it's daft, but you just address it. Like, he should just, when he walks in front of the cop, he gets sung, you've only got little arms, he should just go like that. And everyone would laugh, and they might leave him alone for a bit, and it might come out a bit here and there. But you've done it once you realise that
you've got little arms.
Yeah. But once you realise it's all banter, it's fine.
And it's not going away. I think that's the main thing.
Yeah, but that's because he fuels it by not laughing with it and being, you know what I mean. And he's the kind of lad that I thought we think would have. You know, seems to take the piss out of a lot of things. He laughs in bad situations in footy matches. David James used to do that. It was fucking infuriating when he'd make a bad mistake and he'd laugh. And you're like, what are you laughing for? Dickhead, you just dropped the ball on the goal. I'm glad that he's rubbish. But he's one of them. I said this the other day. There's a clutch of goalkeepers there. That's your expression. Well, it's not your expression, but it's one you brought into our sort of Redman lexicon, is that he's just good enough to get you beat. He's fine. He's a good shot stopper and he's good distribution. But there's a massive thing missing, and it's
an inch of a finger.
This is something so satisfying about saying he's got little arms.
He probably hasn't. It's just funny.
No. But watching it in slow motion when he's reaching for the ball and he can't reach the ball, because whether he's got normal size arms or not, his arms weren't long enough, and that plays into our
goalie's better than him. Our sub goalie. Yeah. Genuinely. Yeah. Like, Adrian's better than him.
Adrian's pretty much. Because you saw what the clutches have got. You've got the elite of the elite goalkeepers. And I think at this stage, you're probably talking about Alisson and Edison, really, in the league.
Mm. With De Gea's switching.
Just now. But De Gea and Kasper Schmeichel are probably...
Fabianski, maybe.
Yeah.
I like Fabianski. But yeah, not he's probably the team below.
Yeah. You know, and then, like, Lloris, I know he's bad, you know. But they're good. And then you've got this other just mess of keepers. And Pickford should be... in that second tier,
yeah.
But yeah, for whatever reason, he's not, and long may that continue anyway. Adrian, you mentioned him, Steve. There's not a save there that he shouldn't make, but he does make them, and I'm not been a goalkeeper for too long to sit here and go like, well, like, somehow steal credit from him. He makes big important saves. He's there. His distribution was really good. His command. He was just, yeah.
If you're going to save it with your feet, what, I don't know if it's taught or whatever, but he gets it far.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't just, like, fall a yard away. When he saves it with his feet, it bangs out, doesn't it? Like, 3 or 4 times he gets them. Listen, I thought Evans' finishing was horrendous. Like, he shouldn't have had the chance to save some of them. He didn't have to move to your right arm. But he's your sub-goalie, so all your sub-goalie can do, I always think, is that just don't cock up. If they score worldies, then that's one of them. You know, like, I'd expect Alisson to potentially save a worldie. You know, like, I wouldn't really expect that from Adrian. And to be fair to him, he has done a few times. He's made unbelievable saves.
Well,
so,
like, Napoli, maybe one of the best saves, exactly.
So he's so much better than what we've had. Like,
Chris made the point on one of the shows last night that he's probably the best goalkeeper we've had since Pepe Reina, except for the fact that we've got Alisson.
You're right. He's better than Mignolet. He's better than Karius. He's better than anyone else we've tried, isn't he? So, I thought, what I like about him as well, I think you need to have you talk about character and stuff on goalies. He's got that, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, if Everton fans were giving him a bit of stick, he'd be up for it. He looks like he's got a bit about him, and he seems a sound fella as well. He's got a lot going for him, and like I say, I had no issue with that in the end. I thought, at first I was thinking, why are you resting Alisson? He hasn't played.
Yeah.
Maybe he needs games, but...
Just a thank you to Adrian.
Again, and I thought he was really, really good.
There was one thing, I don't think it was picked up on the cameras, I might have got a little bit of it, but when Curtis Jones' goal goes in, his celebration was amazing. He threw himself on the floor and started rolling around and all kinds. It was like that bit of Simpsons where he goes. it was fucking absolutely brilliant. Ross, we lost Milner after 6 minutes. That had one of the hallmarks of, like, you're thinking, oh, well, here's another reason why it's all going to go tits up. Because I think that first 10, 15 minutes, actually probably the first half an hour, we weren't great. We didn't have a great control over the game in the same way. You know, we played a lot of aimless long balls over the top, just getting rid of the ball a bit too quickly. Lucci, I thought he was wild. I don't think he's a very disciplined footballer, and he's certainly, I'm not sure he's a left back yet. But obviously got phenomenal pace. I thought his endeavour. He was a really exciting player to watch.
Yeah, Milner was a bit of a surprise. I don't think he was capable of getting injured. To be fair, he just passes every test.
Well, Klopp but... said post-match, any update on the injuries? He's felt pain, so you know it's
it must be bad. Yeah. But again, I think it justifies the reason why he's rested loads of players. And you think it's James Milner that could have easily been any one of the first team. But Lucci, I've seen him in pre-season a few times, obviously before he gets his leg kicked off by someone. Was it Sporting Lisbon we played?
Severe.
And he likes to get forward quite a lot, which is sound, but I think Everton caused problems first half. Theo Walcott obviously gets in down that side. I think he's just learning, isn't it? On the job in a deep end. He probably never expected James Milner to get injured for a start, and he's thinking, shit, and he's getting ready here, and he's getting on the pitch.
He didn't have a shirt on, did he?
No, but it's about adapting and learning on the job and gaining that experience, which I think he did. I think him and a few other youngsters, I think they grew into the game and grew confident because there would have been natural nerves there for them. I think that's what it was for him in the first 10, 15 minutes that he played. But again, his link-up play with Origi down the left, I think once he got into that rhythm as well, and getting forward, and again, he led the press in some of the situations as well. I thought he was fine.
Backs himself, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. He's in the corner and he's doing little step-overs to get out of it, and you know, he's chasing lost cause. He's got confidence. Again, I'm not sure he's a left back,
yeah,
but he might be a Liverpool left back, you know, because we don't play normal left backs.
Look, that confidence was true of all the young lads. I thought the amount of situations where, like, you know, I've seen Jack Robinson come into the team and be fine, and I've seen Flanagan come into the team, and they're all good, but they look like when they do those, like, I remember a game playing for the school once as a sub keeper and having to come on at right back because of injury, and I had the best time of my life. Cut from right, left footed right back, just dropping the shoulder and cutting inside, and I worked about five times out of field. It was amazing, but it was always, you were having a laugh. It was never serious. Whereas these lads, it's part of how they play. You know, the amount of times Nico Williams goes to go, just cuts inside, keeps it, but they all play with that kind of confidence. The one player that I thought I was actually most surprised by, if I'm honest, Ben, was Nat Phillips. Mm. I think we've kind of forgotten about him. You know, it's the last couple of summers, we'd looked at him and gone, yeah, could be if I predicted the summer before last, and I'm thinking, yeah, we could see some of him this season. The loans actually looks like it's done him quite good. He's only been playing in Bundesliga 2.
They're quite high up Stuttgart in Bundesliga.
But just playing, he's played senior men's football,
yeah.
And he came back in. I think there was a few early moments where I was like, you know, yeah, he started Calvert-Lewin, kind of had him a couple of times, aerially particularly. But he just looked like a centre back.
Yeah, he did, and I think playing alongside Joe Gomez will have helped him, because I think, you know, the Joe Gomez's confidence will be sky high at the moment. I think the decision for this has been made. Clearly, Van den Berg isn't quite up to the level yet, and I think we saw that in the Villa game, where really, you know, if we were...
And Arsenal.
And Arsenal, but particularly in the Villa game, where in a team of kids, he should have been the guy who probably came out with one of the, you know, with a little bit of credit, and he didn't really. In fact, he gave one of the goals away, and I think this decision has been made given his performances over Phillips's performances over the last couple of summers. Mm-hmm. I think Klopp's had it in the back of his mind and made the decision. I think it's a good decision as well.
He's given, part of the squad as well, isn't
yeah,
he? You know?
Yeah, and he is now, and I think given we still don't really know where Matip's up to, Lovren, and I think. Actually, he's thought, he's probably looking at the situation with all of the kids and how well they're all doing, and he's thought, well, you know, rather than going out and buying another £5 million, £10 million centre back in January, I've got a lad on loan out there that actually might be pretty good if we bring him back. So I think that's where the decision.
I mean, it wouldn't shock me to see him go back out on loan, Steve. You know what I mean?
After as soon as Matip and Lovren come back,
you know, yeah, maybe at the end of the window, whatever. But you know, like he came in, there's a moment again of confidence, which I think which grew for him as the game went on. Second half, we're under a little bit of pressure. And he drops the shoulder and he goes past, I think it might be Moise Keane by that point, and he goes past his man and just strides into midfield, and you go, again, I had no expectations of him. I thought he might be a bit agricultural or whatever by comparison. Just not because he is that, just by there's very high standards been set by Liverpool centre-halves this season or the last couple of years. Yeah, I thought it, well, to be fair, the whole back five, I thought we're out.
At first, I thought I was worried about set pieces. We look like we probably got at because they got in a few times. And that can happen with, you know, mixed teams and like whose responsibilities were. It's usually Virgil's job, just going ahead of everything away. Yeah. We didn't really have that. Phillips had I think it was a corner, he got a flick on, which was an important touch, but you can kind of understand that. It was the same as the Villa game, actually, obviously to a much lesser degree, but the kids played against Villa, is that you looked okay, but then you got done at a set piece. Just, you know, something, because you can just switch off or physicality get you or whatever, or stuff. Like the timed run from Holgate, he's just in.
Yeah.
So that was the only, but in terms of general play, I didn't think like they were horrendous. When I first saw Nat Phillips live, I think properly, we played Torino in a friendly. And I think Belotti had him on toast a little bit, to be honest, at the time. Again, completely understandable. He's a young kid and Belotti's an international footballer. And I've always wondered, like, he's got the physicality. He looks to me like he could be brilliant for Stoke. Yeah. That's what I always thought of him. Like, he could just be good. He can just edit everything away. Yeah. He wants to be in the back line and stuff. But he's much better than that, actually.
Yeah.
I wasn't giving him the credit he deserved. I thought, Like you mentioned before, growing into the game, I think they realised, you go into a match thinking, Christ, we're playing against Everton, here's international footballers, Richarlison plays for Brazil, and you've got this lad, you know, banging on about Calvert-Lewin might be playing for England soon, all this kind of stuff. And after half an hour, I think they sussed out, they're a bit crap.
Yeah.
And you know what? And like we, you know, we can just be us.
Well, they had a very simple game plan, didn't they?
Whack it out, Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah, they too. Was try and smack it into the channels for Walcott to chase down and go long to Calvert-Lewin, and that was literally.
I thought we dealt well with for most part, and Phillips is credit with this. That even if Calvert-Lewin won the ball, he was winning it going backwards. He was never. The flick-ons were contested. It was always hard for him because he is actually a very good target man. He's caused Love and a few problems at times, Calvert-Lewin. But I think the way it was, and I think the target to Phillips, obviously, you're going to. And to be fair, I thought he stood up to that well because Calvert-Lewin, again, I don't think he's an absolute number nine, but he's got a bit about him and he can put himself about. And yeah. We dealt well.
I quite like Calvert-Lewin. Yeah. Can we talk about Nat Phillips' slidey?
Oh.
Absolutely set the tone for the entire game of football, Ross.
Well, I think they need that sometimes. Don't you talk about the conference going into it? I haven't done that, and then I have 50,000 people just applaud you, thinking, "Yeah, I'm bang up for this now."
It's perfect.
But again, it comes back to them having some self belief and growing confidence. I think every time Everton missed a chance, I think it's a bit of a wake up call. But also, like, oh, well, actually, we're still in this. And then I think you're right. I think they realised that how shit Everton were, and I'm bypassing their midfield time again. I think that was just too easy for them. The link-up play between, you know, the back four and the midfield was just like, okay, you're going to have the ball, you're going to run with it. I've done my job now.
Yeah, Joe Gomez, I said it on my match reaction, Ben, there's a chance he might be the second best centre-half in the world.
He's brilliant.
He's so good.
He cost us £3.5 million, Paul.
Yeah.
He cost us £3.5 million. And you know what? I saw criticism of him earlier in the season and I knew people would end up regretting that because, you know, he comes in, he's had a long injury and he's playing at right back, he's playing that position. I wasn't thinking of you, Steve, but, you know, fair.
No, but while we're here.
On the latest episode of Steve Was Wrong, episode 733. Pay you five in a month, you get to see me be wrong.
yeah, subscribe now. He's playing at right back, at, you know, was it the Salzburg game at home? He had a bit of a mare, and I don't think he was great against Napoli away either. But he comes in and he's brilliant at centre half again. And suddenly we're seeing that Joe Gomez that we saw before Christmas last season. And, you know, that's a good string of performances from him now where he's been outstanding, starting from the game against Watford at home. You know, he's been fantastic all that time. I mean, it's been said by everybody at this point, but it's absolutely no coincidence that this run of clean sheets has been since Joe Gomez came back into the side. Yeah, I can't speak highly enough about him.
My thing with him, I don't think he's good at. I think we've actually just seen proof of it, is that I don't think you can just drop him in. Like, I always think Lovren could just be not playing from nowhere. He's in a team and he does all right and he'll be fine. Yeah. It looks like Gomez takes a few games to get back up to speed, but to be honest, I think that's also because he was getting messed about. He was getting played at right back. I never want to see him at right back again.
Yeah.
If Trent can't play, just play Williams now, or play. Just forget moving him because I don't think it's done him any favours whatsoever. I was talking a lot, like, keep Matip in the team, because if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I wonder if this is an example of why we're not seeing Keanu Hoover playing at fullback and why Nico Williams has gone above him in the pecking order. To some extent. He looks a tremendous right back as well, but I wonder whether there's a lesson learned that if he's going to be a centre half, just play
him at centre half.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I think, like, Gomez, now he's up to speed, he's phenomenal. Like, he's at the... When we started last season, him and Van Dijk, that partnership, we were wow. But to be fair to Joel Matip, he come in and he was just as good, I thought.
Yeah.
But I think we've gone up another level, and I think it just lets us defend a little bit higher because he's rapid, like he's so quick. It has took our game to a new level. So I think the way it's happened has probably been for the best. And I don't think Matip would ever have been dropped. But the fact he's had to go out the side, and then Gomez got the chances, and we won despite him having, you know, and he was a bit rubbish at times. Like Salzburg, he was all over the place.
Look, Gomez is not as had a bad time this season. So any the criticism, I think in and of the moment he's analysing how his season had gone is absolutely valid. I don't think, you know, again, look at the what's the Charity Shield game. He was given that game, and he was all over the place. And it wasn't really until Matip came on that we threw all the attacking lads on as well and gave them a real game, but we were much better for having Matip in the side than him.
I think it's the whole form, temporary, class, permanent thing, isn't it? He wasn't a bad footballer, he was just in bad form. Yeah. And I think, you know, to be fair to Klopp, I imagine Klopp went into the season thinking my first choice is going to be Van Dijk and Gomez, because he starts them in the Community Shield, and he starts them against Norwich first game of the season, and then and then he's out. He's out the team, and he's messing around.
You might just need that. I mean, it sounds daft, but like Lovren strikes me as the kind of guy who thrives on having a bit of a fight. And Matip's actually surprised me how much he seems up for it as well in terms of fighting for his position. I do wonder whether the he's still a young lad, Gomez, and how you handle pressure.
The old England Sterling thing might have been on his mind. He's had a lot going for you know, against them or rather. So, but he is genuinely like. If the two best defenders in the league both play for Liverpool, I'm certain of that. Like the two best centre halves in the league both play for us, and I don't think it's that close to number three. Like you're talking your
Laporte,
your Alderweireld's, Laporte. Maybe Laporte's not been playing, so maybe when he comes back in the mix, it's probably two or three. But at, like the present, you know, Sienchu's been good for Leicester, but Gomez is on another level.
The thing about him is that he's a great foil for Van Dijk, but I can just see him stepping across and being, you know, Van Dijk's not going to have loads of years left in his career. He lacks that little bit of height, but he's got that. He just looks like Van Dijk when he plays. He played exactly like Virgil Van Dijk plays that role. He just looks so composed, striding out with the ball or whatever. And I wonder, you just think, don't you? Because when you've got the Van Dijk Matip thing, just having massive lads. Helps. It's just that you're just more likely to win headers, etc., etc. But I don't think you need to be It helps if you've got a tall lad in there, but I don't think you need to be huge to be a centre half. If you've got a decent, I mean, look, like, I don't think Ramos is the biggest, is he? You know what I mean? And yet he's been.
Mascherano was good, wasn't he?
But Mascherano's tiny Puyol wasn't huge, etc. So no, it's he's absolutely class.
He's been our best player the last few weeks, hasn't he?
Yeah, Gomez. We've had this man of the match shouts, and for the last three games, he's been
there.
You know, Jordan Henderson and him have been the two outstanding ones. And this week, we replaced Henderson with Lallana. Probably in those, we'll try and touch upon him. I want to get through the lads who we don't get a chance to talk about often. And Ross Pedro Kiravea, absolute scouser. He's just, he's become a little bit of like a meme. And I drew upon that big time pretty much because, you know, it's a couple of times now where I've paid good money to watch a football match that Pedro Kiravea started in. And that's not necessarily what we go to Anfield or go away for, but I said this as well, and some people will find exceptions to this, of course they will, but I can't think of any games that he's really played badly for us. He's a very tidy footballer. He's played in some shocking teams for us down the years and the here and there, but his first touch is great. The way it's a bit Alonso like in the way that you pass the ball to him, you fizz it into his feet, and the way he moves with it, he makes himself a yard of space to play the pass. I just thought he was great.
Yeah, I think Chris Walsh put a tweet out last night and said something similar to the narrative of Kiravea, like he's a bit of a joke, and I think that plays into the terrible teams that he's played for, the fact that we played him in the Carabao Cup and he was ineligible to play, and the fact that he feels like he's been around for ages. I think he's only 22 and he feels like he should be like 28 or something like that, and he's played in some of those bad teams. I think he's been attached with that, whereas like I haven't really seen him play properly, apart from last night. I think he was fully justified. I think he was also the biggest surprise of names that were knocking about on like the starting 11 or like the shows that you do and people talking. No one ever said Kiravea might start this game.
No.
And I think everyone goes, oh shit, fucking hell, like what's he doing? But I thought he was terrific. I think, again, confidence of being able to play with Curtis Jones and Adam Lallana, people that he's never played with before, and his direction of play was superb.
But we'll never know behind the scenes, Steve, where it's at in terms of clubs who were interested in him or what. Liverpool are just happy to keep him, whatever, because obviously Herbie Kane's sort of loan out, he's gone to Hull, and he probably shone in a more obvious way in that Villa game because he was getting in the box and having shots and all that. I thought Kiravea was outstanding in that. He caught, in fact, I'm right in saying we brought him on in the Arsenal game, didn't we, I think? Yep. And we pushed Lallana, because Lallana started in the six, and we pushed Lallana further forward, and he provided a great stable base for that. I don't think he's going to really play for us again.
He might play in the next round.
Yeah, maybe that's it. But it's just a weird situation. He's probably had his time. You know, if he'd been this age under Brendan Rodgers, I think he'd have probably played more footy for us. But he's probably just a bit slow and a bit small for a Jürgen Klopp midfield. But again, I don't want to sit here and talk about the negatives of Kiravea. That's another really good performance.
He played really well. He was Liverpool dominated midfield. Just that's one thing he did do. Yeah. And they're playing against, you know, three, again, quality footballers. Well, supposedly, Gylfi Sigurdsson's shit, but...
So Schneidlin.
Yeah, Schneidlin's terrible. But, you know, like, well, like, experience...
Like £90 million worth of midfield.
Absolute, you know, shite. Yeah. It's experienced international footballers or Premier League footballers, you know, they play for big teams. They've scored goals, they play a lot of games, and we battered their midfield. Like, they didn't get a kick. You know, I thought bringing Delph on was a good move for them because I thought maybe it would give them a bit. And, yeah. I mean, didn't do much in the end, but... I thought it started with Chiavella in that Everton tried to press us on fair play, and they really did. And at times it worked because they did get chances where we messed it up. But a lot, Chiavella's got that thing where he's very, it was a press evasive, I think the term is. And that, like you mentioned, it's his first touch, takes him out of trouble.
Yeah.
And he'll just play, and he'll keep it relatively simple. He'll just tick things on.
He wasn't playing like a 60-yard raking passes or whatever. But again, the best thing about Liverpool's performance was the keeping it simple. It was small passes.
Tidy is the right word. Just keeping it simple. Keeping the play moving. And again, he did that particularly well. Once we'd had the goal, and you know, we had all this possession suddenly, and for some reason Everton just completely folded, and we were basically running down the clock a bit. He was really good at just keeping the ball moving and then playing that odd ambitious ball. You know, Jones seemed to step it up again after he'd scored the goal. You could see there was another level of confidence like instilled in him, and he was receiving balls from Kiravea out on the left wing, and he was taking them in and giving Coleman, was it Coleman at right? He was giving the right back.
Coleman,
yeah. just a solid time.
Right back, they played two right backs.
Oh, Sidibe was there as well, obviously, wasn't he? So you know, Kirivay was really good at doing that, and he didn't look out of place, you know, in and among the midfield battle itself, and you know, he was good.
He looked like a lad who's probably going to have a good career somewhere. Yeah. Mm. And it might be Championship, it might be Premier League, it might be go back to Spain and play. But he doesn't look like a lad who you think is going to be playing, you know, League Two footy in 3 years' time. He looks better than that, doesn't he?
No, absolutely. just a fascinating performance. You look at the stats, like 57% possession. We ended up having more attempts on goal. We almost doubled the amount of successful passes as them. You know, we put a team of kids out and passed them to death. I don't even know where to start. I could literally do a show on every single performance and every single player. Let's do Lallana next, Ross. I think I said it. I definitely said I'm a match reaction after the game was that there's just people out there that don't like Adam Lallana. There's always got to be one. There's always got to be one lad in the squad that just Skate people are the people irrationally dislike. There was Lallana through and through. That everything good about Adam Lallana we saw on the pitch there, absolutely tireless, chasing round, being an option. Turning on the ball, you know, playing with his back to his back to goal, deep in our half, turning the play around. He
bit gnarly.
Yeah, having the gnarl to his game, takes the captain's armband, and it was, you know, we've been talking about Jordan Henderson being a proper Liverpool captain now for a few weeks. He's been in the rich vein of form. That was a lad who was a Liverpool captain playing for me last night.
Yeah, I'm fine every time he comes on the team sheet now. I think that narrative comes from 2-3 seasons where he's been hampered by injuries and his form's been terrible. But if we go back to the last season, I think it was, he came on against Burnley and Neds fell off, he put in a good performance and whatever. But I also think there's the same thing I used to have with Matic, with the thinking, okay, he's had a good game, you get injured soon. But I think he did an interview the other day and Klopp said, like, all his injuries behind him, he's fit. And I think he said, I'm fit now, it's not, I'm firing.
Well, thing is, if he's got injury problems, who cares? Like,
but he's a squad player now, you don't need to rely on him, he's being managed properly, so you can drop him in a game. He can do a job, he knows what's required. He was Klopp's favourite player three seasons ago because he led that press, he did that job. But also I think he's taken on that mature level now. We have James Milner, I was saying, have that experience in there to calm things down. I think he provides that as well.
Jürgen Klopp loves lads who are prepared to go and die for the cause and run themselves into the ground. And Lallana's been like that since minute one, all the way back to the Tottenham game, Klopp's first game in charge. And you know, and you've got the there's just a high point in the midst of there, you know, winning the Norwich game and that kind of stuff. Sorry, Steve. But Jürgen Klopp loves as you run around. But Jürgen Klopp's perfect is lads who are supremely technically gifted, who run around loads as well. Because there's tons of lads who play footy. You've got Lallana's ability. I mean, I say tons. He's a very, very technically gifted footballer. But most of them. They drift in and out of games, and they don't do all that. They don't have the fight in them.
It's calculated running as well. It's not running around for the sense of just tiring yourself out. He's in the press, and the start of that for, you know, Curtis Jones and Kiray to go in after him, and Harvey Elliott as well.
Yeah. I thought with Lallana, he has that one where he heads it behind, doesn't he? That could be a goal. You know, it looks like it's going to fall. So I think it's Calvert-Lewin, so he's done well. He's played 16 games. I'm just checking. He's played 16 games, which is the same as he played last year. And more, he played 15 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He's fully fit. He's a Liverpool. He's not this fringe player now. He's played 16 games, or 16 appearances. He's a proper member of this squad.
Yeah.
He isn't going to flit in and out. He's going to be there a lot. And I think people have to just accept that. You know, I think a lot of people are still burned by the. I think Lovren gets this to an extent as well. And I thought Mignolet was that. They're not the best players, and we keep saying it, but they're not crap. They're just at a level where. And old scars, you know what I mean? People remember Adam Lallana in Liverpool teams that were crap.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, we'd lose a lot of games or he'd get injured or something. And I think it stays in that. But Adam Lallana of this season, if you just judge him on this season, has been absolutely fine. If he's your seventh midfield option, you're absolutely flying.
Yeah.
You've got no worries if Adam Lallana's your seventh best midfielder. I like the fact he's got a bit of gnarly about him.
Yeah.
you know, he's shouting at the ref, he's shouting at the, I think what the lads fouls him, his name is Moses, he's like, what are you on about?
He just gets, because he does the step overs, and he does like Louis Garcia things, except Garcia was just maddening. There was loads of fellas, I mean, it gets forgotten now because everyone remembers Garcia really fondly. There were tons of fellas who hated Louis Garcia, hated his guts from minute one to the minute he left the football club, because he's the lad who turns into trouble, and when it works, you look like a genius, but it doesn't work very often because it's a very difficult thing to do, and it's what stood like Luis Suarez out above, because his percentage of making that work was higher than the vast majority of people in footy. But Lallana's got that. He's got like, he's had a few mad haircuts, and he's a bit little, and he's, you know, he's sudden, and he, you know, and he's got these tricks and turns. So there's just something about him that I think, but people completely overlook. It's like they forget that too. He's a captain. He is a genuine captain of the football club. The way he conducts himself, that he bollocks people, he gets in the refs here. Yeah. There's something like that he's got, that Milner's got, that Henderson's got, that is absolutely, but you need to have them players.
He's also playing for a move. I think we should accept that. Maybe accept that as well. He's probably going to, by all accounts, he's not going to sign this contract. Liverpool would like him to. It looks like he's not going. He's going to go somewhere else. He's playing for that, and that's good for us. You know, if we're getting the benefits
Arsenal
of that,
Arsenal should be all over him.
Most teams in the league should want him. Yeah. And you know, he's Gylfi Sigurdsson couldn't lace his boots.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, like, so teams maybe that we're getting the benefit of him playing. He's proven he can stay fit, and he's proven that, you know what, I'm worth giving me a go.
But it's funny because, you know, this is the time of year where we've seen Nathaniel Clyne go out on loan, and we saw Daniel Sturridge go out on loan, and Lallana could well, if he'd not had the right attitude, you wouldn't be. None of us would have been shocked at the start of the season if you said Adam Lallana's going to go out on loan in January. You'd be like, I can see that. I can understand why he'd want to do that. But you're right. He's going. Well, I'm just going to play. I'm going to give everything I've got this season. I'm probably going to come home with a few, you know, few medals or whatever, and then I get the freedom to choose what I want to do next. Because that contract offer from Liverpool's not going anywhere. But he's not daft. He'll be looking at that and thinking, how do I get my game time next season and the season after that? And he might just think, I want to go and be a main man somewhere again. But equally, he might just decide, you know, that his future at Liverpool is actually pretty rosy. All told, and he puts performances like that in, and not one of us will bat an eyelid.
He's also probably grown as a person, because last time he played with the under-23s, he put someone in the headlock. So fair play for doing that this time.
Absolutely. Okay, Minamino. You know, I actually had the second line of the agenda. Minamino's debut almost gets overshadowed by the team, and there we go. Completely got overshadowed by me talking about. Benny was fine. He was. Tireless, I think he did. Mm. I was quite surprised to see him play in the nine, to be honest. It was a random, again, me and Chris talking about how he was going to do a starting 11 prediction, and I'd said we played Ox for one game, you know, against Genk. We started him in that nine, so it wouldn't be shocking to see him do it, but all the same, I didn't think Origi would start there. I thought he'd start wide. He should do better with the header chance. And if he scores that, he makes himself an absolute hero forever. But it's probably a 7 out of 10 performance, but on your debut in a Merseyside derby, he's got, like we're talking about with Harvey Elliott, and we're talking about with all these players, he's got that out the way now.
Yeah.
It's done.
There was just enough, wasn't there, of flashes to see the type of player that he is, the type of player that we've signed, you know, and to prove that there's more to come from him. You know, like you can put him in the same category for that game as the likes of Harvey Elliott and Curtis Jones, because all we need from those players at the moment are just signs that they're going to be good players. You know, well, Minamino, you'd expect him to kick on a little bit faster than those.
But Minamino's job is that, it's probably maybe a little bit more, you know, and he will, because look, he's had like 4 training sessions prior to this game. His job is just to be a squad player this season. Mm-hmm. It's just to be able to come in and not be shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's got to come in and put 7 out of 10 performances out for the rest of the season. That's his aim.
Yeah.
And if he goes above that, amazing.
Yeah, and obviously we've gone through now, and that'll benefit him, because there's going to be at least another cup game that he'll almost definitely come in for. You know, we're going to, as Steve said before, you know, if we go further in these competitions, there's going to be more and more games to play, and he'll have opportunities. You know, you'd like to see him get a few goals if he's going to be playing in that position. But again, we don't know. We still don't know where he's going to be playing on a more consistent basis. Is that where he's going to be playing, or, you know, you're going to see him come in wide? My suspicions are he's going to be playing pretty much everywhere. So we've just got to wait and see.
Yeah. I was shocked actually that he was playing up front and Origi was left, because I didn't think it didn't make sense to me. Again, and just the 5 million and stuff. I would have wanted Origi down the middle, just because of what's happened against Everton down the middle, like 3 weeks ago. They couldn't lay a glove on him, and I thought maybe it's a, because he is so new and he's only played 4 games, it's kind of like, stick him in the nine because he doesn't have as much defensive responsibilities. Yeah. He doesn't. The shape doesn't really matter. As long as he floats about and does his bit, you can kind of not hide him, but it ease him in.
Yeah.
But I thought it did. I thought it actually took away from Origi. I didn't think we saw much of him for that.
I wonder whether there's a little part of that where you're looking at it and going, well, Seamus Coleman playing right back, so having Origi's pace out wide makes sense. And having Yerry Mina, who is just... he's fucking rubbish. He's just rubbish. Why Barcelona bought him? What Barcelona thought they were getting? You know, who've had this... play this cultured brand of football, who converted some of the most talented footballers in the world to play in defensive positions, blah, blah, blah. And then they buy this absolute... yard dog turns like cream centre half, like. But that maybe in being that was a thought with that. But
that surely should have been a suspicion of Everton when Barcelona decided to sell him to them.
Yeah, you know,
really like, good. This
why are you giving him to us? Well, he's all right. All right, okay, we're getting this player off Barcelona.
Yeah.
But why?
We've all been there on chat manager, footy manager. It's like going to clubs, going to Barcelona's B or whatever and seeing who's there who might be interested in
you. To be fair, Gomez has been all right for them, who made a similar move. But Yerry Mina.
Did De La Feu come from Barcelona as well?
Yeah. He is just like, honestly.
They exercised the buyback though.
I thought Emre Can turned slow.
Yeah.
I've seen Yerry Mina turns like. Saying he turns like the QE2 would be a disservice to the QE2. Like, honestly, it was ridiculous. But like I say, that's what I thought maybe we'd get Origi up there and go at them hammer and tong. We never. It made sense why he's done it, because you don't want Minamino having this, you know, defensive responsibilities in his first game. You kind of want him to. And what he looks like to me is that he's got a little bit. He reminds me actually of Lallana, like early Lallana. That's what the first thing I thought of when I saw him, was that. Low centre of gravity, he turns well, he puts himself about. And like you say, Minamino's Liverpool career is next season onwards. What we get from him between now and the summer, you're going to flit him in and out.
He's helping us rest through rotation.
Yeah, exactly.
What his job is, he scores a few goals along the way, then the better.
The Origi thing might be a tactical thing as well. Like you said, be prepared for what happened last time. We'll stick him out on the left and just go, your move then, what are you going to do now?
Yeah,
as well as Coleman being really slow.
Yeah. I think the centre-halves, where did they go? What did they do?
They'd have prepared for Origi doing that again, and then it's going to always...
The flip side, we could have just done it again. There was one time when the ball went right over the middle and he was nearly in.
I agree with that thing of the proof that we put Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain in that for a game, which tells you that if you're just quite talented and you're good on the ball, you can hold your own in that position.
And it gets you on the pitch, it gets someone else a rest, and it's probably the one of the system. When Firmino plays, it's vital, but if it's not him, I think you can kind of play around that person, or you can carry them to an extent.
Yeah. Couple of the really good moments before, I talk about the best of the best, which is Curtis Jones' goal. Duncan is a Tampon song, which I've not sung since the mid-90s.
Didn't show it on the BBC.
Funny that. Yeah, it was definitely in the coverage. But the first time it went round, there was loads of people going like, what is this? And I was like, oh! That was all we had in the 90s when they used to beat us in every fucking derby. And I had to go into school and see my mates. They're in for a week and out for a month. Duncan is a Tampon was the best. It was the absolute best. Duncan Disorderly, all that shit we used to do. Because he'd come out to grab the ball and throw it back. You know, or the president of passion or whatever his role is now. and then the cop just absolutely slaughtered. It was...
See, that line makes a lot more sense now as somebody who hasn't heard that song before.
Well, you were even born when we were singing that song,
to just see the word Duncan is a tampon on a piece of paper.
We can have for a month the greatest pieces of comedic song genius from the cop of all times, because he was very injury prone. I don't think it was shown on the coverage again, but there's a moment where the ball goes into the main stand and it gets chucked back straight away and it hits Klopp on the feet and he nearly kicks the ball back into the stand. He actually kicks the ball and he flips on it, because this is like when we're trying to see the game out. Is oh my god, it was great. It was just fucking brilliant. He was like, what the fuck? What are you doing? Keep hold of the ball, you dickheads. Absolutely love it.
I remember once going to a game on a tangent that is Carragher done it. The ball, I think it might have been Man United actually, I was there. The ball came in my vicinity and this fella grabs the ball and we're all running back. And you hear Carragher go, fucking keep hold of it. Like to this fella in the crowd, all right, Jamie. Like, and the United players, I think, I'm sure it was Rovers to get it, and he's like, can I told me I can't give it to you. Like, I don't know what to, like, just hot potato it.
Brilliant. We were so good at that, the time wasting stuff in general. The crowd kept on with it a few times. Anyway, look, the best of the best moments, Curtis Jones, Steve Hoare. I mean, the thing about it, the goal itself is perfection.
It's breathtaking.
It's utter perfection. The fact that it comes from a lad from Tocchi is even better. The fact that, for me, because we've not talked about Harvey Elliott in this podcast. I thought he was fine, by the way. No disservice to him. It's just a time issue more than anything else. I think all the young lads excelled. You know, we've talked about them. The Curtis Jones excelled. I think he was playing in the most difficult position on the pitch.
Yeah.
Of everyone, and because I was actually watching his performance, I was thinking he actually wasn't shining in the same way the other lads were, but he was, because he was holding his own in a central position, in a central attacking position for Liverpool at times. And to then cap it off with the goal, I think gave it the just rewards for the performance that he put in. He was brilliant.
Yeah, I think he got man of the match, didn't he, off the BBC and stuff. Obviously, the goal probably wins that by itself. His all-round performance, he is a player now who I would have no issues playing in the Premier League. Yeah. Like, if you said to me they're going to throw, you know, someone in, you're like, oh, I don't know about that. But if he has to play, it's fine. Talk about backing yourself. He's got that swagger of a player who knows how good he is. The fact that he goes for that shot and attempts it, yeah, at that point of a game. Younger players, funny enough, on a little bit of hindsight, I watched Steven Gerrard on Sky getting interviewed by Gary Neville. They're watching his career, soccer box. And he said, like, at times, he went, I wasn't selfish enough. I kept trying to pass it to Patrick Berger, or at times pass it to someone. And then I started going, you know what, I can do that. I can just score. So why am I passing it to you? Because I'll just do it myself, sound. Yeah. And it was almost like that, like the little layoff when he's in. The obvious thing to do there, he could just be to lay it back, so 5-yard pass, and we go again, and we build, and we go, it goes down the right, and you know, Nicky Williams crosses it in or whatever, but he goes nah. And the ability to do it, like, it's sheer perfection. Like, you could not do better. Like, it's inch perfect, because, like I say, Pickford is literally, it's fingertips.
Yeah.
The way it drops in, it's a stunning goal. It's
slips,
like,
the crossbar on the way in, which is, yeah, the best. It's just fit.
It's like you can put that now. I know the significance of the game might not matter, but like the all-time derby goals that I've seen, I mean, like, that is not on a level to Rigi ever, because it was hilarious, and Mane at their place. But in terms of like the actual goal itself, I mean, yeah, I always think Gary McAllister, you know, that one, yeah, though, it's hard to beat. This was just
Daniel,
like,
Daniel Sturridge lob, Steven Gerrard, other one. You know, we scored some brilliant derby goals.
I think this is my favourite.
It might be one. If it's not, it's certainly in that type of, off the top of my head, of the most beautiful derby goals we've scored.
I think it might be my favourite ever now, just because it means that a young Scouse lad beats Everton with a worldie with our C team out, and their best team ends their season. It kind of demystifies Carlo Ancelotti, who had happened to become, like, I don't know. You know, everyone's like, oh, it's going to be different with Ancelotti in a derby. Well, no, it's going to be the exact same, fellas. It's probably my favourite ever derby goal now. It'll take something special. Until we win the league at their ground, that'll probably be my best derby goal. But before that, I think it's absolutely fantastic. If he never does anything else for Liverpool now, he's sound. He will, because he's certainly good enough.
Well, Klopp said, didn't he? He said, barring something weird happening, he'll be a Liverpool player. That's just how good he is. I love his confidence.
Yeah.
I saw someone saying, post match, it might have been the subscribers group, saying a little bit worried about the ego. I think it was in the comments section on YouTube. I interviewed him some before last. I can't remember what ground that was. It was after the pre-season game anyway. And he had a really good position, but he hadn't scored. But he said, I said, you know, are you happy to be here? Blah, blah, blah. And he was like, it's going to plan. And I was like, your plan is to be this, to play and be this good. And he was like, yeah, that's my plan. And this felt like an extension of that, Ross, where he basically came out and said, I'm frustrated. I'm on the bench. I don't want to be on the bench. I want to be in the team. And some people could perceive that as being like spitting the dummy out. It's not. He just backs himself. He backs himself in a very, very big way.
Yeah, like, even on the goal, like, it hasn't been spoken about anyway, but like the build up, I know, because the goal was very good. Like, but the build up to that, he's playing 1-2s with Origi. He then chips the defender on the edge of his own box for him to pass it back to him, and obviously then the goal takes on from there. But I think it's a build up of being trip fed. These games in 10 minutes here and 10 minutes there, or going away to Qatar, like you said, and stuff like that. He's got a taste of what it's like to be a first team Liverpool player. to then go back to the under-23s, I don't think it's a negative that he goes, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to be back over there with everyone else and playing with world-class players, which I think he said last night. I'm going, that's where he wants to be. That's where he sees himself. That's, again, someone you just said, who backs himself. He's got the confidence, but he backs it with ability. And he's shown that in games that he's played.
He's also the scousest person I've ever heard. Like, if people struggle with my accent sometimes, I get comments, slow down. Or people can't understand Jamie Carragher on the telly. They've got no chance with him. He is the scousest sounding kid I've ever heard. It's going
to be interesting, yeah, his punditry career down the line might be something that needs working on life, but he's got a long time to worry about that. It's been a big year for him, Ben, because he only really got put up to the under-23s, I think, this time last year. And he by all accounts, he didn't quite hit the ground running. He obviously had that cup appearance, didn't he, against Wolves, where I thought he was fine. Yeah. But it's interesting, this could well be that. You think about the Trent moments when he comes in at Old Trafford and he just holds his own. He's not great at right back in that game, but he holds his own, and then he's just gotten more and more opportunities as it's gone on. I certainly hope it is, because there's a few too many examples of lads who get games. Like Jordan Roster scores in the League Cup against Borough, doesn't he? And you know, we've had Ben Woodburn scores against Leeds, is it, in the Cup as well. I hope this isn't that. I hope this is a platform for something else, because he's tall, he's got pace, he's got close control, he's got confidence, he's clearly got an eye for goal. He could have the full package.
Yeah, Klopp's got a big decision to make now, because do you loan him or not? You know, I think, look, at a few weeks back, you'd probably say yes. Mm-hmm. But now suddenly it's like, well, you know, maybe we are a little bit light in midfield, and actually he might be good enough to come in and play a few games. You know, if you think about some of the fixtures that we're going to have between now at the end of the season, you know, they might be favourable for him. But at the same time, is he going to benefit more from going out to, you know, a lower league Premier League team or a Championship team and playing pretty much week in, week out? And it's a big decision that he's going to have to make in January for me, because, you know, he's reached a stage in his career where the likes of Harry Wilson and Ben Woodburn, it looked like he had, that he's just too good for youth football.
Yeah.
So what do you do with him now? You know, do you play him? Do you play him within up? You know, do you play him as a like sort of a rotation player in our squad, or do you go out and make sure he gets full time football? I don't know what the correct answer.
I think he has to stay.
Yeah, I think he'd be selfish.
I think he has to stay. Liverpool need him. We've got five injuries in midfield or something, which is a thing. For him, I think he looks like a lad who training with these lads every day will be better for him. And then if you're actually going to loan him, you do what you did with Harry Wilson, in that you let him go somewhere for a year. There's no point sending him to somewhere now where it takes him a few weeks to get used to it. He's battling a relegation battle or something, and it's just, what's the point? I think you keep him around, and then in the summer you make your decision, right, Curtis? You're now 7th, 8th choice, but you know the equivalent of Derby you wanted, Harry Wilson, won't you? Go and have a year playing for them and then come back and we'll see where you are. I think that's probably the best move for him. I don't think he can even consider that because of Fabinho, and obviously now Milner's out, and we've had Genie's had issues, and Keita now is injured, Shaqiri's been injured. They're like, all our midfielders are struggling. I don't think it's a coincidence. I think I'd be amazed if he doesn't start a Premier League game between now and the end of the season. Absolutely. So I think you've got to keep
him. The good thing about him is he's got that versatility. You can play him in a 4-3-3, you can play him in a 4-2-3-1 if you want. You can play him centrally, you can play him wide as well, because he's got that bit of pace and trickery and what have you. You're right, I think he'll find games. He's young enough, isn't he? Did someone say he's 19 today or this week or something? He's 18 at the time of the game. He's got a lot of time left. There's no rush for him to get this, but I think I think for his ambition, I think it would be interesting to see if we do get him a few games. And look, there's no doubt now, and this is the beauty of this game, for all of these lads, like I said at the top, they've now played a senior, proper, competitive game. It's a derby, you know what I mean? They've played against it's not like the Arsenal game was a nice stepping stone, but Arsenal made loads of changes for that game as well. And it was a, you know, 5-5 and pens and all that kind of stuff. Like, but this was it. This was a proper game of footy, and they've all stood up. And now we're in a position where, again, if they'd only make themselves squad options between now and the end of the season, that for Nico Williams, for Curtis Jones, for Harvey Elliott, that's mission accomplished. They're kids. You know, they can't be expecting to come in and play another 20 games back to back for us now. But if they go come in and they play a handful of games between now and the end of the season, then all of a sudden when you're talking about the summer and Lallana moving on, and there's talk now Genie Wijnaldum might move on, you're placing yourself in a position to plug those gaps. the next season, which is all this game is about, as far as I'm concerned. And also, obviously, stuffing the blue shite back in the little fucking holes on County Road for another year.
You've not got it on there, but I was very surprised, pleasantly surprised, to see Chamberlain on the bench and get some game time.
Yeah, and because, looking sharp.
Yeah,
as well.
That was a massive surprise seeing that. Like, obviously, when he went down on guitar, it just looked horrific. He did like some little.
I thought he'd done his knee again.
Yeah, he did some little half crawl and looked up at the bench and just felt sick thinking exactly that he'd done it again. But there's been no signs of him like coming into the side, and then to see him on the bench and wanted to get like 20 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
Again, that plays into going forward with the injuries you just mentioned
perfect
there.
Timing for exactly. Back, yeah. Really. Yeah. Absolutely. Just quickly, obviously, on the roundup, just the games of significance for us last weekend: Wolves drawing with Man United and Borough drawing with Tottenham.
That Man United game was the worst game of football I've ever seen.
Was it?
Awful. Yeah. It was so bad. Neither team showed up.
The good thing about that for us is that those games replays take place in between our games with them. So Man United, Spurs will have to go. I mean, obviously, having played us, they'll have to go and then play a replay, which doesn't necessarily have as much of an impact. But United's replay against Wolves will be before us playing them, which is absolutely wondrous news. That's that then, gents. Thank you very much. Oh, yeah, but Dan Kennett on Twitter, the longest unbeaten runs in British derby history. Liverpool are third behind Chelsea, Spurs, who had a 26-game run. Hearts, Hibs was 22, and we're joint on 21. Arsenal, Spurs have got that record as well, but ours is ongoing, and long may it continue. Cannot wait to see Toffee TV. Later on, it's going to be glorious. I'm going to give them a big cuddle and make them feel even more sad about their lives. Gents, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. Make sure you head over to theredmentv.com and get all the extra content. As I say, this show is twice a week when there's two games a week. The midweek one is on there, including instant match reactions, 15 minutes straight after the game, and all the brilliant and in-depth and insightful interviews that we've done with some of the greatest Liverpool legends and present players and managers. It's great. Go and sign up and we'll see you there.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.